Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Happy Wednesday before Thanksgiving to each and every one of you. I am Brett Winterble. It is great to be here with you today. I am thankful for each and every one of you. I am thankful for my family, my friends, my church, my community, my state, my country. I am thankful, and I know you are as well. And it's an incredible blessing to live where we live in the time in which we live here in these United States of America. Let me specifically address two people who I am particularly thankful for. That would be TJ and Tommy. And of course, Boomer and Mark Garrison. Anna's out sick, and we certainly hope she gets well soon. But I really want to be straightforward with you on this thing, because this is what this is all about. And many hosts will say the thank yous at the end of the show, but I think let's get this right up front here. Let's get this right up front and be grateful for what it is that we have. We are slowly moving back to normalcy ever since the departure of Tony the Fauci. He of I Am Science. And when you question me, you question science. I am thankful that Tony Fauci's off the scene now. I am totally thankful for the fact that we are free to move about the country, affiliate with the people we choose to affiliate with, all that sort of stuff. Basically, I am thankful for the choice we have as Americans to be free and to enjoy the liberties that we have, despite the best efforts of the political classes to try to make you feel bad. And make no mistake, there is a concerted effort to make you feel bad about America, to make you feel like we are gross polluters that have got to be responsible for paying reparations to countries we have nothing to necessarily do with as individual Americans living our lives. We are not guilty of the sins of the founders. We are not guilty of the sins of the people who came before us. We are only accountable to what we do in our daily lives. There is no collective punishment that is going to come. That is a very OT sort of worldview. There is no generational curses or generational responsibility that transmits itself between the generations. The only time, you ever notice this, the only time the progressive left likes to think of judgment is when it comes to American history. They don't want to be judged in the current age. They don't want to be judged for what they say and what they do. They just want to apply it to people who have been dead for hundreds of years and then try to attach that, quote, guilt onto you. You can't let them do that. And so on Thanksgiving, be thankful for what we have. Not just an opportunity to be the greatest country in the world, we are, and not just the opportunity to be the freest country in the world. We still are. Sorry, not sorry. We have an opportunity to sit back enjoying a delicious meal with great ability to celebrate the miracle that is America. And we have the divine right to say to the people on the left, I don't care. I'm not buying what you're selling. We're not doing climate change Thanksgiving dinner. Sorry. I'd love to help you out. But the fact of the matter is, we're not doing climate change. We're not doing America's the great bully. America's the great evil. America's the problem in the face of the earth. We're not doing those things because we live in the world of reality. We really do. We are more generous than any other country in the world. And anybody that tries to tell you that government spending is somehow tied to generosity or tied to charity is a fool, because every tax dollar taken is taken at the point of force. Every tax dollar taken is taken at the point of force. Every donation you make in a free will manner, that's what really counts. And so as you get ready to spend your time with your family. And some of them are no doubt going to be kooky wackos who are going to try to tell you that America's a terrible place and you're responsible for the riot on J6 and you're responsible for the climate change. You're responsible for all those things. Just look at them and say, no, I'm not. I'm not. And I'm not going to buy an electric car. And I'm not going to sequester CO2. I'm going to deep fry this turkey. I'm going to smoke this turkey. I'm going to eat this turkey. I'm going to eat the fixins that come with the turkey. And then I'm going to take a nap. That's what I'm going to do because I can. Because it's not just women lined up outside of a Planned Parenthood clinic that have choice. I have choice. You have choice. We have choice. And the choices are choice. That's important. Question for you to consider this hour, and I'd be very curious to hear from you at 704-570-1110. I'm going to stand up and defend liberty at every turn. I'm going to stand up and defend the right to freedom and the right to free association and the right to the religious belief of your choice. But I am going to ask you this question this hour. This is the time, this is the day in which people travel very, very far and sometimes very, very near to get to where they have to go for Thanksgiving celebrations. So the question for you is, what is the furthest you've ever actually traveled for Thanksgiving? Not spring break, not summer vacation, not a new job, but that you have traveled to get someplace for Thanksgiving. What is the furthest you've gone? It's one of these questions that kind of baffles me, and I'm really curious to hear what it is that you have to say. Essentially, if you play your cards right, you can take the entirety of Thanksgiving week off and take a week of vacation, or you can take a couple of days off and then try to get back for the weekend. But no doubt you're traveling in a car, you're traveling in a bus, you're traveling in a van, you're traveling in an RV, you're traveling in an aircraft, you're traveling on a boat. You may be traveling on a Lime scooter. I don't know, but I'm just very curious to know the furthest you've ever gone. And sort of the coefficient of that question is, were you satisfied at the end of that journey? Because that's the big question. And that's what makes all of this so special and makes all of us so free to make these decisions. 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. The White House, speaking of the indoctrination of folk at the table, the White House is attempting to politicize Thanksgiving with leftist talking points to defend Joe Biden. Ron Klain, arguably the biggest failure in the history of White House chiefs of staff, put out leftist talking points just this day for predictably insufferable supporters of President Joe Biden to attack Republicans at the dinner table. Here's what he said. One last item for your Thanksgiving dinner, some talking points when, quote, that uncle comes at you about POTUS. Nobody's coming at anybody about POTUS. They're not. And then he puts out a chart. President Biden's top accomplishments for when chatting with your uncle at Thanksgiving. Ronnie Klain, why do you have to be such a staunch defender of the patriarchy? Why the uncle? Why not the aunt? Why not the non-binary uncle or aunt? Why are we only talking about the uncle? That feels like you're furthering the patriarchy. I think you got to rethink these talking points. I'll go through some of them, but again, asking that question, what's the furthest you have traveled for Thanksgiving? 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. I'm Brett Witterbull. This is Boomer Von Cannon. He's in the getting here to there business with the traffic. How we doing, Boom? 2, 3. That's the White Stripes covering Jolene. You know, we are doing a cover Wednesday. It's Cover Wednesday on the Brett Witterbull Show. It's getting us in the spirit. We will start the Christmas music next week. We will begin to work in the Christmas music. And by the way, I think it's important to make this announcement, TJ, now, because we don't want to get caught up in a lot of the kerfuffling. And it's this: Whamageddon begins. Whamageddon begins tomorrow. You have to be careful. You know the game. If you don't, here's what it is. You must avoid Last Christmas by Wham. If you don't, if you run across it in a store, in a place, at your house, whatever, you are the victim of Whamageddon. Once I have survived the entire run of the season, it goes all the way to Christmas Day. If you make it past Christmas Day, you're good. The Whamageddon is over. So just be aware of it as you travel to and fro. We're going to rely on you to self-report whether or not you got whammed. Once upon a time, we'll have to talk about this later, TJ. We were engineers. They engineered a whacking on us with the Wham, and that was a bad deal.
It was an assassination, really.
It was. It was an absolute violation of trust when they came at us that one year. And we'll talk about that later in the program. Michael wants to talk about how far he's driven, traveled for Thanksgiving. Michael, welcome to the program. What's the furthest place you've driven to for Thanksgiving?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
So when I was about 20 years old, I lived in Kissimmee, Florida, and I'm from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and so I would drive home to Gettysburg from Orlando.
Wow.
Every year for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Wow, that is a journey. And you're driving, you're talking about driving from perfect weather to less than optimal weather in that run.
Yeah, but I missed the snow, so it was all right.
Yeah, I get you, buddy. I get you. All right, that is awesome, man. That is great that you made that trek. Did you ever regret making that drive? Like once you get into hour 8 or 9 of the trek, do you find yourself going, "What am I doing? This is crazy. It's too much."
No, not really, because I really like driving. Even still to this day, I like driving. The only thing I ever regretted was getting some speeding tickets.
No! Well, listen, you're an honest man. I appreciate that very much. And I'm glad you're not, I'm assuming you're not going to be traveling very far this year?
No, not too far. I live in this area now, but I still do drive home to Pennsylvania for the holidays.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, you have safe travels and enjoy your Thanksgiving. And thank you so much for jumping in here today.
All right. Thanks. You too.
Hey, you got it. That's Michael talking about his trip. That's a good long drive. That is a good long drive. And you can, you can run into a whole series of different sort of weather systems between the Orlando area and then up to Gettysburg. We'll certainly keep that on the table for others who want to jump in that regard. I want to go back for a moment, though, to the paperwork that's been sent out by Ron Klain, the White House chief of staff. So these are the President Biden's top accomplishments for when you're chatting with your uncle at Thanksgiving, who's giving you a hard time. Here's some of the claims: tackling inflation and lowering costs. Did you know that President Biden did that? He did. Did you know gas prices are down $1.35 a gallon since June? And inflation is moderating? Wait, so it's not going up, it's just staying at the high level it is? Is that what you mean by moderating? Unsnarling supply chains to lower the costs of your goods. Saving Americans with hearing loss up to $3,000 on hearing aids. Tackling junk fees that cost Americans billions, like surprise overdraft charges. Well, that's pretty interesting. Wait a minute, supply chain, lowering the cost of goods. What about that rail strike that's looming? That rail strike's going to be a big deal, isn't it? How do you fix? Oh, he did fix that. Remember, he did. I forget. I take it back. President Biden did fix the rail strike. He announced that a couple of weeks ago, right before the election. He said, "Oh yeah, yeah." 60 Minutes. He told them that they fixed that rail strike's fixed. Then, right? There's no talk of that rail strike happening. I mean, none that I can see. I mean, I'm looking at all the sources of material here, and I'm not seeing any evidence that there's going to be a rail strike. Is there a rail strike still coming? Uncle Tony took on Big Pharma and won, lowering prescription drug and healthcare costs. Joe Biden capped the annual out-of-pocket prescription drug costs at $2,000 for seniors on Medicare, capped insulin copays at $35 per prescription for seniors on Medicare, lowered health insurance premiums by $800 annually for Americans who buy insurance through the AFA, the American Affordable Care Act, worked with the Republicans to rebuild America's infrastructure. We're rebuilding roads and bridges, investing in passenger rail and public transit. What about the rail that's going to be not traveling because of the strike that they fixed? Expanding affordable high-speed internet for all Americans and 30% of Mexico. No, I'm sorry. Removing all let. Really? He's done this? He removed all the lead pipes in America? Or is that aspirational? They want to remove the lead pipes. Because on Ron Klain's sheet, it says removing all lead pipes ensures clean drinking water in all communities. Okay, well, that's a statement of fact. If you get rid of lead pipes, that does ensure drinking water that is clean in all communities. But have they done that yet? And then finally, and most importantly, worked with Republicans, the insurrectionists, to make more in America by passing the CHIPS and Science Act. What kind of chips are those? What kind of chips are those, TJ? Are those Takis?
Fritos.
Are they Fritos?
Always Fritos.
Frito chips? Frito chips, let me tell you something.
They smell like feet.
The only time that I miss the days of the mask are when I'm standing next to somebody who's just eaten a half a bag of Fritos.
Because of the feet smell.
And the smell. The smell is just, it's really shocking.
Shocking.
It's a shocking, it's an alarming smell. It's a shocking smell. You would think they could.
Fritos over
here. Dude, do you understand that basically when you're eating Fritos and then you're expelling the breath that comes out of the Fritos, I mean, you're right there with that smell that comes out of by the Catawba. You know what I'm saying? Down there, that new indie plant, man. It's all like, you're like, whoa, what did you have?
Bow water.
Clearly not chili, not chili fries. Ain't no chili fries there.
Chili cheese Fritos.
Chili cheese Fritos? That's really, I like them, but man, they'll repeat on you a little bit every now and then. Sam Bankman-Fried, I've got updates for you straight ahead, including he's saying there's still a chance to save the company. So he's saying there's a chance. Can't wait. 704-570-1110. Furthest you've traveled for Thanksgiving. We want to hear from you. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterville Show. Great to be with you on this Getaway Wednesday as you're traveling to and from your Thanksgiving celebration, and want to make sure, you know, be patient. It's going to take a little bit of time to get out of town, but once you're on the big roads, you know, it's good to be out there, and you'll see your loved ones in no time at all. And, you know, just be patient. Just be patient. Everybody's trying to do their best out there. 704-570-1110 is our phone number. I posited a question out there about the furthest you've traveled for a Thanksgiving trip. And Penny joins us next with this question. Hey, Penny, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Glad to be here.
Yes.
My husband and I, we would, on more than one occasion, drive from Charlotte to Gulf Shores, Alabama, on a motorcycle.
On a motorcycle? Wow.
Yes.
Wow. How long did it take you to get down there?
It took probably 14 hours.
Wow.
Because you have to have kind of a break.
Wow.
But we would do that more than once.
So can I ask you a question? Is it more tiring to drive the bike or to ride on the back of the bike?
Well, I was always the passenger.
I would have to
say it would be a little more tiring on the motorcycle with driving it rather than being the passenger.
See, this is tough because, you know, if I'm driving a car and you're riding with me in the car, I mean, yes. And we're heading somewhere.
We had a windshield on our motorcycle.
A windshield, okay.
Alleviates a lot of the pressure.
Yes. But I was going to say, if you were in the car with me and we were driving somewhere, you know, I could be driving the car. You could doze off for an hour or something. You can't doze off on the back of a motorcycle. Like, that's incredibly dangerous.
Well, I have.
You have?
Yes.
Holy cow! Do you have, like, some kind of a lanyard or something to hold on to your husband?
No, no.
Oh my gosh.
No, I am rather tall, so I can kind of straddle with my feet dangling a little bit.
And, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I can doze off.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm sorry. I'd have to be in the. I'm going to have to be in the sidecar. I can't. If you're going to be driving down the road, I can't. I got to be in that sidecar taking a nap with the goggles and the leather helmet on my head, like World War II. Like, that's what I got to do. I can't be. I can't run the risk of dozing off. You know, I'm grabbing a couple of Taco Bell tacos and now I want to take a little nap. I can't do that. It's terrible.
Yes. Well.
Well, God bless you. That is great. Were you going to see your family, his family? Who are you going to see in Gulf Shores?
He has a sister that lives there.
Ah, gotcha. Well, that's great. Okay, that's a great call, and I appreciate you being out there, Penny. And I hope you have
Thank
a
you.
Very blessed Thanksgiving. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's really quite something. I can't imagine falling asleep on the back of a motorcycle. Hey, TJ, that's like... Okay, I can envision doing it. Can I tell you how I would do it? Velcro. I would say Velcro and zip ties, but zip ties is pretty, like, that's a pretty big commitment.
Yeah, zip ties, you're committed.
But if you Velcro the front of your jacket onto the back of the other jacket, you might be able to hang on there for a minute.
Ooh.
You know, there's...
I don't trust Velcro that much.
You get, like, the heavy-duty Velcro. You know, like, the kind of Velcro... The deep pile Velcro, like not the cheap Velcro, you know, like the real deep pile kind. You know, I mean, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. They have that. It's like aisle 42.
Exactly.
It's like aisle 42 over in the craft store.
The deep pile.
Hobby Lobby. You just go, look, you go to Hobby Lobby and you say to them, look, I'm taking a road trip and I got to stay off the road. So I need the deep pile Velcro.
Where's your off-roading Velcro?
It's kind of like, I mean, really, when you think about it, it's like deep, yeah, it's like deep pile Velcro. It's like shag Velcro, like deep, thick Velcro that then attaches to that Comey kind of a thing. And I don't mean Jim.
Can you get Velcro in different colors like shag carpet?
I'll bet you can. I mean, I'll bet you that somebody has figured out a way, because it's like basically you want to ride on the papoose of the person in front of you.
Yes, the papoose.
There is another way to ride. There is another way you could ride.
Tell me.
So you could be the driver. Okay, I'm going to use you and me for an example. So I'm driving the motorcycle. You could straddle the bike facing me as I'm driving.
I mean, I could skip therapy that week or add a couple more sessions.
You got to have a lot of trust because, I mean, you're riding backwards the whole way.
I mean, yeah.
But if we put the Velcro there, you could attach to me, and there's like very little risk of involuntary removal, which is just another fancy government way of falling. I think we've done what we can do. 704-570. What's that?
Government falling? Is that what you said?
No, involuntary falling, where you are not volunteering to like bail out. You just fell out. That's a government term. News Talk 1110-993-WBT. So when the state trooper in Mississippi pulls you over and wants to know if you're up to some funny business on the bike, all you say to him is, it's yoga.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, bud? You get exotic behaviors out there on motorcycles all the time, man. You know who sees crazy stuff? Truckers.
Oh man, they see it all.
Yeah, dude, they see it all.
Man.
Man, are you kidding? That's a TV show right there. Someone could just call it Trucks.
Put it on Saturday night.
Are you kidding?
Prime time.
On Cinemax.
I mean, uncensored.
That's go. It, man. That's it. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Ace of Spades, Lisa LeBlanc. Great to be with you on this Getaway Wednesday. Oh, we got unbelievable stuff still straight ahead. I'm going to share with you one of the great stories of Thanksgiving. It's not about the actual original Thanksgiving celebration here with the Puritans. It's going to be a tremendous story, though, from an amazing writer that's going to give you a whole renewed perspective on all of this. Everything is fair game, basically. This is an opportunity for you to call in, check in, let us know what you're thankful for, let us know how far you've driven, what's the furthest you've driven for Thanksgiving holidays. We are monitoring breaking news at the same time as well. We're actually expecting to hear a briefing come up here at some point. With this Idaho murders story. In the next hour, Brett Jensen comes by, and we're going to talk a little bit about his coverage yesterday of the tragedy of the WBTV helicopter, which took the lives of two really, really great fellows here in Charlotte. And he's going to give us some of the behind the scenes of how this story went down with his coverage. But let me grab a call from Jim. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Yes, thanks for having me on again, Brett.
Yes, sir.
And I can't say enough how many prayers I've said yesterday. At first, I didn't think it was appropriate that I should call in. I just, as soon as you led in with the story yesterday, I thought nobody wants to hear from me. And then I realized later on that because of you, because of your benevolence, my mm-hmm. presence on the show, I am family. I'm part of the WBT family.
Yes, sir.
And during tragedy, family comes together.
That's right. That's right. It's absolutely right, my friend. It's absolutely right.
So,
and
I'm glad
you called in on
it
that.
It was more important to be together with the people that have blessed me with the interactive capability that I have today. So.
Well, we are thankful.
I'll play along with your premise if you like. You want
yes,
to
go ahead, story? Please. Yes, what do you got?
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if one of the astronauts on Apollo 8 called in and said, well, I came back from the moon.
That's good. They would win. The celestial bodies are going to trump anything
on Earth. It might be a little mundane to you, but I drove my 69 Datsun station wagon down from the Bay Area back to San Diego, down through Big Sur, Highway 1, and totally scenic. But then when I got there, we went and saw the Chargers play the Cincinnati Bengals in the infamous Freezer Bowl. And as soon as they panned across the field, and I think it was Al Michaels that did the narration, telling us 26 degrees at Cincinnati at Bengals Stadium.
Ooh.
I realized that our goose was cooked, or rather, our goose was going to be freeze dried that day.
That's right. Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
But it was a great game. It was a great spectacle. But nevertheless, 800 miles in the 69 Datsun B2, the station wagon, 69 Datsun station wagon is. I can't even believe it's like when I was. In the drug culture, I look back on the vehicles I used to drive back and forth, and I'm just like, I can't even believe that was me.
That's incredible. That's it. That's a lot of mileage for a little car like that, too. I mean, that's really quite something.
And guess what? I put the engine in that thing in my brother's backyard and drove it up mm-hmm. to my duty station at Alameda, NES Alameda,
yes.
in the Bay Area.
Sure.
And then drove it back for Christmas and Thanksgiving until I bought a real car, a Vega.
You went from the Datsun to a Vega.
Yeah, I actually got a loan through the Navy credit for a Vega.
So you borrowed money from the United States Navy credit to get a Vega. What were you thinking?
That's like I said, I can't even believe that was me.
What were you thinking? Mean, not a Scirocco? Not a K car? Not a Chrysler K car? You went and got a Vega?
I just went and saw, looked, pointed to get a car and thought that one. And then they sat down with them. They said, yeah, we have the credit terms for Navy personnel.
Wait a minute.
Boom.
Wait, you pointed?
I guess I just didn't have that much credit, so that was a good thing at the time.
You pointed at the car and said, I want that one.
I didn't know what I was doing.
Were you in? Were you doing?
Was there, wagon
that was there? Was there drugs? That was there drugs then at that point? Was there drugs happening there?
Pardon?
Were there drugs involved there, Jim, with the Vega?
Let me just say that during my illustrious naval career,
this is dangerous.
I was having a hard time convincing the Navy that we didn't need the airplanes to get high.
We're getting very close. This show could become deceased at any moment here. Oh, God!
Oh, my God! They killed the show with drugs!
Why would you? Oh, no, not with drugs! Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no, it's a drug
what
overdose.
What did you do, Jim?
Red Winter Bullshit.
What did you do?
Stay off the weed!
All right, well... Thank you for having me on.
You have a happy Thanksgiving. Stay away from the Maui Wowie and the Hindu Kush and behave yourself out there on the West Coast.
Yeah, you too. You have fun in the Jeep.
I will. That's it. You know what they say? You know what they say, TJ? They say it. I don't say it, okay? But they say it. They say ain't no party like a West Coast party.
Why?
I don't roll West Coast. I'm strictly East Coast. I'm strictly Piedmont. I'm not East Coast. I'm not West Coast. I'm Piedmont. Or am I Midlands? See, I'm trying to learn all my geographic realities here.
You're close to the river.
I'm river people? Is that what I am?
I wouldn't say that.
Are you saying I'm river people?
But you said that.
What can I find
disagree.
If I tonight? Like, let's say tonight we get off the air. There's still a little bit of light out there. What can I find out there in the river? Can I find friendship and people?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Hold on a second. Okay, he's gonna have to be able to tell us this story in less than a minute. This is Steve who's got a Vega weed story. Steve, what's up?
Yeah, so I got a loaner car when my car was in the shop, and it was an old Vega.
Uh-huh.
And I don't blow my horn very often, but if somebody does something really dangerous in front of me, I will. And I slammed the horn, and the center of the steering wheel popped off, and there was a baggie in there full of weed.
No! No way! No.
Yeah.
So you had a Vega weed story.
I just put it back in, closed it up, and returned the car when mine was ready. I didn't say anything to anybody.
Wow. Call. You know what, man? Steve, that is that is comedy magic right there, man. You have a happy Thanksgiving. You deserve an extra turkey leg, okay, buddy?
Yeah, thank you.
You got it. What are the odds? We literally, we have everybody listening to this program. I mean, you give me Vega, I'm thinking Suzanne. No, we're talking vehicles. Wow. Another great hour straight ahead. Break and Brett Jensen joins us next. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT.
I only wanted to see you laughing in the purple rain.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Great to be here with you. 704-570-1110. It is a getaway Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We've got great guests coming up on the program. Yesterday at this time, we were all suffering the shock of the terrible news of the crash of the helicopter WBTV with a couple of really, really tremendous people on board. And I wanted to bring Brett Jensen onto the program to get a perspective from him that you might not otherwise have access to. And so I'm happy to welcome to the show Breaking Brett Jensen, who was out all day yesterday following this story from the earliest moments that this story began. Breaking Brett Jensen, good to have you back, my friend.
Thank you, Brett. I appreciate it.
Take us back to the moment that you found out about this this terrible crash and the way the initial period of time began to unfold as you were working this story from literally the jump.
So right around noon, like almost exactly at 12, I was at the Harris Teeter, and I was buying Cool Whip because you got to have Cool Whip for your Thanksgiving Day pies. I was buying Cool Whip, avocado oil, bread, and I was about to get ready and get some dog stuff. And I had the Cool Whip, and I had avocado oil and bread with me. And I was in the dog aisle when I got a call from a source. And I know this person generally only calls me when things are important. And right when that source was calling me, I got three or four other text messages from other sources saying, hey, there's been a helicopter crash. And one text said, it's WBTV's helicopter. Another text said, I think it's WBTV's helicopter. One text didn't mention anything about a helicopter, like who it belonged to. And then the other one, when I answered the phone call, they said, hey, WBTV's helicopter has just crashed, like everyone's heading that way, and it's in most, you know, they're closing down I-77 and everything else. And so I was talking, so I immediately put the Cool Whip, the bread, and the avocado oil right there on the shelf in the dog section, and immediately left Harris Teeter, got in my car, and started driving. And I still wasn't sure, and it was still a little unclear at this point where it actually happened. All I kept hearing was between Tyvola and Nations Ford near 77, but you didn't know how close it was to 77. Was it, you know, 500 yards, 400 yards from 77 in the woods or in near a parking lot? You just weren't sure where this transpired because, you know, so I'm driving down Fairview, which turns into Tyvola, and I park, not knowing what I was going to see, not knowing anything, just to see if I could see anything. I park at the McDonald's right there at Tyvola and I-77. Mm-hmm. And I park there, and I get out of my car, and I walk about a quarter of a mile to six lanes of traffic, to cross over and get on the bridge of Tyvola that's overlooking I-77. And you can see all the traffic being diverted heading south as I looked to my right, and I was looking north to my right and seeing all the traffic being diverted off the Tyvola exit. So at a red light, you know, I dodged and weaved my way across several lanes of traffic to the other side looking south. And I'm on the bridge looking south. They've got the on-ramp closed onto I-77 South. And that's where you could see 20 vehicles, 30 vehicles, all emergency vehicles from ambulances, fire trucks, state troopers, sheriffs were trying to help. City police obviously were there. And you could see all these, a lot of state troopers, by the way. And you could see all these people there. And you could barely see the side of the helicopter. And so then that was about two-thirds of a mile away from where I was standing. Right. And that's when I realized, I mean, that's from that moment on, you know, I was in constant contact with Mark Garrison. I think Mark Garrison and I spoke about 20 times yesterday because he was back, if you want to say, at Command Central back in the newsroom. And I was out in the field telling him everything that I was hearing, everything that was going on, and everything that I was seeing.
So are you the only media that's out at that moment there, Brett Jensen?
Yeah, I was the only one at Tivola Bridge for at least 20 minutes, maybe 25, closer to 30, but it was at least 20 minutes. I'm the only one there, and I took photos and tweeted and posted it on my Twitter page. And I showed two photos, one with all the traffic being diverted, and then another photo looking south off the bridge, and zoomed in as much as I could, as you can with a camera phone, and you can see all the emergency vehicles there. And I posted that, and I guess about 20 minutes later or so is when the next TV station arrived. And then within a couple minutes after that, you had four TV stations standing where I was standing.
When you're standing there and you're seeing this unfold in front of your eyes, what's your initial feeling? I mean, you're a reporter, you're chasing a story, obviously, but this has a connection to you. What's that feeling in your gut when you're standing there, Brett?
You know, that's a great question, and this is going to sound so extremely callous, but you hear about this all the time. And I'm by no means equating this to war, but you hear this from soldiers all the time where they're don't scare, you know, because they're in the moment. They're so focused that they have the tunnel vision of accomplishing the task at hand. Or football players, you know, when they're not worried about the last second, you know, the last seconds of a game, you know, or whatever, a tragedy or something major happening. You just get tunnel vision. And that's what I had. I wasn't really feeling emotions. All I kept thinking was, all right, how am I going to get more information? And there were some cops there, and there was a state trooper there, and there were some cops there.
Right.
And I just started, and again, I was there by myself for 20 minutes. I just started talking to the cops by the on-ramp that were closing it off, and I just started talking to them.
Okay,
I want to
break here. I want to take a break here because there's a very important part of the story that's going to come up here next with what you were personally experiencing, right? That's going to be something you're going to share with the audience. You had a window on something that most people don't realize. And so let's get to that as we move into this, the second segment. Okay.
Yes, sir.
You got it. Breaking Brett Jensen. I'm Brett Witterbull. News Talk 1110-993 WVT. Boomer's got a look at the road. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show. It takes two Bretts to tell this story. And Breaking Brett Jensen, very kind to join us here talking about the events of yesterday and how he covered this. So, Brett, you were there on the bridge, Tivola. You are looking at the scene of our crashed helicopter from WBTV. The reporters are starting to pour in, and you're starting to talk to members of law enforcement. What did you experience in talking to the members of law enforcement? Were you able to gain any knowledge from them or detect anything from what you may have been hearing from the cops?
Yeah, a little bit, not a lot. Some stuff I already knew, but you know, and this was all before the other reporters got there. So I just moseyed up, and they didn't know if I was a reporter or whatever. But, I mean, you know, they maybe just thought I was a bystander watching. But I walked up to them, and I introduced myself, you know, told them my name, told them where I worked, and just started talking to them in a casual conversation. I wasn't interviewing them. I was just talking to them in casual conversation and learned that while I was talking to him, a murder had just happened in Charlotte almost precisely at the moment that I was talking to him. Wow. And then also talking to a couple, there were two or three different officers there, and I was talking to them as well. And, you know, one of them was like, yeah, it was such a really, really small helicopter, like really small, barely like a two-seater basically. And so then you start, then they're, you know, because they were there at the scene, and then they started, they're seeing the helicopter, so they were, couple of, you know, told me what they had seen, And that's about when the media started showing up. The other media started showing up. And when they started showing up, I left the cops and immediately went back towards the media because I don't want them seeing me. I don't want them to see me talking to the cops or trying to get info. So I immediately went back to where they were, where the other media was starting to show up. And then, you know, I found out really early in the process. I mean, because I'd pretty much known right from the get-go that it was WBTV's helicopter, and they had not reported that yet.
Right.
That it was WBTV's helicopter. But I knew really, really early the two people that were on board. Mm-hmm. And I immediately made the decision to not report their names. And for several reasons. But the main reason, and I've done this with cops who've been killed in the line of duty, right. And I've done this in other ways. When I found out the names of the people that have been involved in an accident where they lost their lives, and it has nothing to do with the fact that it was WBTV. That had absolutely nothing to do with that. I do this regardless, across the board with everybody, whether you're an accountant or work at Harris Teeter.
Yep.
I didn't release the names because I didn't want potential loved ones to find out via my Twitter feed.
Right.
And I can't imagine of anything worse. Imagining that someone doesn't know that their loved one has died, and all of a sudden a friend or a neighbor is calling up going, hey, I am so sorry about your husband, or I'm so sorry about your wife. And they're like, what are you talking about? Well, Brett Jensen is reporting, or Brett Jensen from WBT said on Twitter, blah, 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 blah. That would be the worst possible way to hear about this stuff.
Sure.
And so I made the decision right then and there, well before 1 o'clock, not to release any names. And I think the names were released sometime around 3:10 p.m. to be exact. And so by WBTV. Yeah. And it's just a human decency and common courtesy, whether it's media, cops, accountants, or grocery store clerks. I don't release the names because you don't want family members to find out via my Twitter feed.
And so you have you have this call that you have to make, I mean, on the scene, right? You have a standard, obviously, in your mind where you say, okay, I'm not going to do this because of these reasons. But no doubt, you have this information, you have this knowledge, you're experiencing what it is that's happening here. You have to be very aware of the fog of an event like this, and bad information can get out and it's wrong. And, you know, it's that sort of stuff. So after those names were released, and we found out who it was, and after you identified, you know, what the helicopter was, and all of that sort of stuff, where do you kind of go with this narrative looking into the story itself? You know, you start working your sources, you start making calls, you start reaching out to people to find out. And it emerges, at least as far as I can tell, the really the word of the day for this pilot is that he was heroic in those last moments, avoiding 77.
You know, and so that there were two things that. Well, let me take that back. There were three stories yesterday after everything was finally released by WBTV with the names, and after all the family members had finally gotten contacted, you know, by WBTV and everything and authorities. The three stories that emerged yesterday were the tragic accident, helicopter crash killing two people, including a very well-known meteorologist. That was one story, the actual event itself. Another one was the event of this pilot trying to make sure that he's not landing on I-77, right. And two witnesses, a man and a woman, telling two different news organizations about things that they saw and how, and the word the woman used was diverted. You know, like immediately doing everything in their power to make sure they didn't land in the middle of I-77. And the man being interviewed by another station said the exact same thing. And so you've got these witnesses saying, hey, look, he was doing everything in his power to not land on I-77 and cause even more havoc and chaos and potential death. And so Johnny Jennings did speak about that. CMPD Chief Johnny Jennings spoke about that yesterday at the press conference. And then, of course, then the other one was going on about Jason Myers,
yep.
who has four young kids,
yep.
you know, and is from this area. He's from Rowan County, and he grew up watching WBTV, and he went to, you know, he went to NC State mm-hmm. and is a local person. And had no intentions, you know, this was his home. This is where he grew up. He didn't want to be like the weatherman in New York City or right. where. This was it. This is where he wanted to be. And this was his home. And he was the one, that the face that people knew the most. So there was obviously a lot of coverage about that. So those were the three stories. The yeah. incident, the heroic acts by the pilot, according to witnesses, and then obviously the loss of Jason Myers, the meteorologist that people saw on TV every day.
And Breaking Brett Jensen will be getting further into this, talk a little bit more about this tonight on Breaking with Brett Jensen starting at 7, correct?
Correct, yeah. I'll go into a lot of details about this, absolutely.
Yep. And Breaking Brett Jensen should always be followed on Twitter, and in all seriousness, you will learn things well before a lot of other sources. Brett_Jensen on Twitter. He is a mandatory follow, and we are very blessed to have him here at WBT coming in and breaking these stories and chasing these stories and putting the human face on all of this as we continue to mourn Chip Tayag. And, of course, Jason Myers lost far, far too young and too soon doing what they were doing to help serve the community of Charlotte and beyond. Appreciate you, man. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I appreciate you coming by, Brett.
Thanks a lot, Brett, and you do the same.
All the best. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Coming up, we'll take your phone call, 704-570-1110. Got a lot more straight ahead on this Thanksgiving Getaway Wednesday. I am Brett Witterbull. More after this. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show. How about this sort of a story? I mean, this is an unbelievable story that is running out of The Guardian. A Canadian paramedic who tried to save a crash victim learned it was her own daughter. A Canadian paramedic who responded to a road crash last week and worked to help a teenage casualty was unknowingly treating her own daughter. When Jamie Erickson arrived at the scene of the crash on an icy stretch of Alberta Highway on November 15th, she found a teenage girl with severe injuries that Erickson knew were probably fatal. Owing to the severity of the girl's injuries, Erickson could not recognize her. Erickson worked for nearly a half an hour to remove the girl from the vehicle and stayed with her until the teenager could be airlifted to a nearby hospital in Calgary. When Erickson got home at the end of her shift, she was met by police officers who said that her 17-year-old daughter, Montana, had been the victim of the crash. She was advised that the injuries were not compatible with life, and Montana was taken off life support. The critically injured patient I had attended to was my own flesh and blood, my only child, my mini-me, my daughter Montana, she wrote to family and friends. Although I am thankful for the 17 years I had with her, I am shattered and left wondering, what would you have become, my baby girl? Who would you have been? I mean, it's incredible to look at stories like this that happen around us every single day. And it's a remarkable thing. Jay Austin with this comment about the distance that people travel for holidays. Grandmothers and aunts were always close by, less than an hour when I was growing up. So by default, my trip today and 3 years going is my furthest. Huntersville, North Carolina, to Beaufort, North Carolina, to my parents' house. Always worth it. My dad, and his tradition, is a cup of eggnog that he brings me outside to greet me with, LOL, Happy Thanksgiving. That's awesome. TJ, we were just talking a couple of days ago about the proper consumption of eggnog.
Don't. That's how.
Wait a minute. That's right. I forgot. You would not be partaking in the.
I'm anti-nog.
You cannot be a nogist.
Whoa.
There is no room for nogism in America. Nog, look. I feel like we're in a circle of friends here, and that I can confess something.
It's just you and me.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, so I know I'm going to be judged. There have been times when I didn't have any milk.
No.
Consequently, big old bowl of cereal.
No. No.
I have been known to nog the Captain Crunch.
No. Oh, that sounds so terrible. Captain Nog is not okay.
Cream of wheat. You want to put a little butter and milk in there, you know, warm you up in the morning. Nog.
Oh, no.
You can nog it. Yeah, you can nog the cream of wheat.
It's like a nog toddy.
It's let's be honest here for a second about the nog. You like your chicken marinated in buttermilk?
I prefer NyQuil.
I have nogged a chicken. Nogged a chicken and then put Italian breadcrumbs on.
Okay, that actually sounds like the best idea you've dropped.
So I'm militantly pro nog.
Oh.
What? In your coffee? Nog.
Okay,
it's better than
I've
pumpkin spice.
That.
It's better than pumpkin spice. A hot day, you're doing work in the, you're working hard in the yard. You want to restore your well-being. You want to fortify your. Have you ever fortified yourself? You want to fortify yourself?
Not once.
16 ounces of ice cold nog.
Ooh.
There is nothing wrong with any of this. Cheese dip, no milk, but you've got the queso.
No.
Nog it up. No. You can nog it up, my friend. Look, fettuccine Alfredo, nog it. I mean, it's sweet. It's savory. Chicken fried steak.
It's the whole spectrum.
Chicken fried steak, you nog that thing, man. You go ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Any time of the year. A mom has shared a disappointing experience at Universal Studios due to a lack of size-inclusive rides. This mom said her trip to Universal Studios was ruined when she couldn't go on any of the rides because they were not size inclusive, and trying out the test seats in front of the crowds with no privacy felt like an embarrassing spectacle. The issue of size inclusivity applies to much more than clothing, said TikToker and parent Summer Davis. Size inclusivity means enjoying a trip to Universal Studios without worrying about whether she'll be able to go on a roller coaster with her daughter. Davis recently took to TikTok to share a video describing the demeaning experiences of a plus-size woman at the amusement park. The clip opens with Davis addressing the camera while a green screen shot of her appears in the background. And she says, I'm going to tell you a story about how this woman is too fat to fit on any roller coasters at Universal Studios, pointing to herself in the picture. Before breaking down the situation at the theme park, Davis tells the viewers, I am under no illusion that I am thin. However, she explains, what I am teaching my children and what I am teaching the team of people that I work with is that a body like this is capable of climbing mountains and doing good things, even capable of having pretty solid blood work. What I don't like is taking my daughter on a girl's trip for her 13th birthday, not being able to spend time with her on the roller coasters because she's too fat. After mentioning she's never encountered the issue before with the rides at Six Flags or Disney parks, she says she's very disappointed with Universal Studios and the message the trip has sent to her daughter. 704-570-1110. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Boom.
Yes, sir.
Nog. You pro-Nog or anti-Nog?
I'm okay with the Nog.
I love the Nog, man.
Are you noggin'?
I'll nog my Nog.
You can Nog it.
You can Nog it.
You can Nog it. There's your t-shirt right there.
I'll tell you, Nog
it.
I'm so pro-Nog. Boomer?
Yes.
Half of my clothing is made of Nogahide.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, man.
No wonder you walk so funny.
You remember that, Boomer.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Get that Nogahide.
Tougher than leather, man.
That's it.
That stuff was tough. That shit was really tough.
How tough is it?
Man, you're noggin', man.
All right. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. News Talk, 1110, 99.3 WBT. Is that Cannibal Corpse? 6 feet under. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. It's such a holiday song. I love it. It's just awesome. All right. Here's the second half of the question. I asked you the question in the first hour. Farthest you have traveled for Thanksgiving. Here is the question for you. Strike it or take it. Strike it or take it is the question I'm submitting to you for this segment, and it's this. A dish that is commonplace on the Thanksgiving table that you would like to strike, that you would like to remove from the Thanksgiving table, and take it. You can strike it or take it. One that you would add to your Thanksgiving table. That's something to consider as we move into this next hour. I want to welcome to the program my very good friend, Mark Morano. You know him from his terrific work unmasking all of the globalism that's out there trying to restrict your freedoms. ClimateDepot.com is a great place to go. Mark, it is good to have you back. We know that COP27 just wrapped up. You've written a number of very great pieces about COP27 and the fact that it's just another blowout bust. But underlying much of what's gone on at COP27 and at the United Nations broadly is certainly the issue of depopulation. Is the left still in love with depopulation, Mark?
They absolutely are. In fact, at these events, a few years back, it was at a Bill Gates-funded event, Al Gore actually had the audacity to say that Africa was projected to have more people than China and India combined. And he proposed as a solution ubiquitous fertility management.
What?
So you have white, wealthy Westerners saying there's going to be too many Africans in the world. And there's also people who attend these UN summits. They say the carrying capacity of the earth is only about 1 billion people. And so that would erase about 7 billion current people. And they really think that we are overpopulated. They still think, they still believe in that, which has been disproven time and time again. In fact, the new population problem is probably underpopulation as you go forward. As countries get wealthier, they have less kids, populations will stabilize and then decrease.
Wait, now, see, this is weird to me because not only are we trying to depopulate the developing world or the third world, as we grew up knowing it is being described. But now we're paying reparations to those same people that are really only just wealth transfer payments to the dictators that run those failing states, right?
Yes. In fact, the UN knows politics. That's one thing they actually understand. So in order to get African leaders and South American leaders and Asian leaders of poor countries and convince them to sign on to these energy restrictions for their own people, which they know are bad, how do you do that? You bribe them. You pay them. You give them a climate slush fund, which they started in the UN Paris about 5 years ago, and then you add to these climate funds reparations. So you end up paying billions per year, and it goes to the leaders of these countries, and it goes to the leaders that are best able to keep their people locked in poverty, Brett. That's what's so shocking about this. It's not going to go to build market economies, infrastructure, development, and get them their own domestic energy. It's going to make them literally subservient nations subject to handouts from the wealthier nations because they're not allowed, African nations aren't allowed to make the same mistakes, in quotes, that we made by using cheap carbon-based fuel that built our industrial revolution and gave us long life, fabulous wealth, and lower infant mortality. Africa and South America can't make those same mistakes, so we have to help them.
You know, it's really incredible when you think about this, because I've read some of your eloquent writing and the way you look at this sort of stuff, and you say, you know, you have contended in the past that it is gasoline, it is the sort of fuels that are available in large amounts around this planet that are the best pathway to bring these countries into modernity and into a functioning society where people don't out-migrate and they don't break up into cliques and have little mini civil wars. Instead, they end up prosperous and living life at a decent standard.
And that's exactly right. But that's not the way we're going forward. You have the World Bank, actually during the Obama administration, wouldn't even finance fossil fuel projects in Africa. And these restrictions continue. So Africa is not even allowed to develop their own resources for themselves. However, China is able to go in places like Congo,
yep,
and essentially loan those countries money, which they never can pay back. And China ends up a de facto new colonial power in Africa. And they can employ underage children, according, yep, to human rights, international human rights groups. And they can then get a monopoly on the cobalt market, and which is what all these United Nations summits are. They're basically a China empowerment summit, because we're going to be buying our solar panels, our windmills, our electric car batteries, all the rare earth mining that we're not allowed to do in the United States because of environmental concerns. We farm that out to countries with gross human rights violations and horrible environmental records. That's the United Nations climate summit in a nutshell.
It's absolutely ridiculous. All right, where do people go to get more information on your documentaries, on all the good work that you're doing out there, Mark?
Well, you go to climatedepot.com. I spent over a week in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, at the UN summit this year, so I have a lot of fun. I have me on a camel, me in front of the pyramids, me at the doomsday clock at the UN summit, walking through. You can watch it all. You can go to my Twitter account, too, at Climate Depot. And actually, my pinned tweet is some of my reporting direct from the UN Climate Summit.
Absolutely an amazing resource, and you are a terrific asset to so many of us who believe in seeing humanity do better. Mark Morano, appreciate you so much. Have a great Thanksgiving, and well, let's get back together again real soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Brett. Have a great Thanksgiving. But the Washington Post says you should be counting your carbon footprint of your Thanksgiving meal, so don't have too much fun.
All right, I won't. I'll eat an air sandwich. All right there, Mark. Appreciate you being out there, buddy. Thanks, buddy. That's Mark Morano. I mean, this is absolutely bat-you-know-what crazy. I mean, this is lunacy. This is crazy town. But this is the reality of things. And you know what else the reality of things is? We got another great hour straight ahead. We're going to break down a whole bunch of stories for you. By the way, somebody called in and asked, did the woman receive a refund at Universal Studios? And in my investigation, I have not seen any mention of a refund at Universal Studios for being too large to ride the rides. You know, markets can fix these sorts of things. They really can. You could build plus size rides at amusement parks. And then you could put some sort of a template. You could put some sort of a template around smaller people that would fit in those larger rides, I think, right? I mean, we can always innovate. Don't ever think America is out of the game. We are not. We get larger. Those rides should get larger. It's going to be fantastic. All right, we got another great hour straight ahead. I'm Brett Winterbull. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Our phone number is 704-570-1110, taking your phone calls. I'll be away tomorrow, Thanksgiving, and then on Friday as well. We certainly want to encourage you to be a part of the conversation. It's always good to sit back and reflect on things, especially the blessings in our lives, you know. And that's a hugely, hugely important thing that we're looking at here, folks. We are really blessed. Just waking up in the United States of America is a miracle in and of itself. And that is a huge thing that we should always, 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 always remember, you know. And so later on in the program, we are going to think upon two Thanksgiving Day gentlemen, which I think is incredibly fitting, especially in this time and place. And we certainly want to encourage you to be a part of the discussion. Now, if you're driving around out there, be patient. Everything's going to be cool. We got people who have been patiently holding on. And let's go out and talk right out of the box to Stan. Hello, Stan. Welcome to the program.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thanks. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you.
And you as well.
Well, I wanted to say something. You were talking about population control a while ago.
Yes.
And basically, what they base that on is they see all the hunger around the world and all of the people like living in conditions that they wouldn't live in. And so they think there's too many people. Actually, the study that I have done for this book that I'm working on, what I have found out is that if you just take food production, for instance, most of food production is controlled by governments and corporations. And they found that private farms and private food production is a lot more productive. And so in essence, what they're doing is if they refuse to put together that it's their policies that are causing that, not too many people. And there's actually a website, and it was, if you want to get, like, read sometimes and just look up, like, say, wow, how aghast governments are and controlling the population and keeping power. Every single government around the world has methods that they use for population control, and this site goes through every country, and it's aghast at what governments will do to control the population and keep their power.
Okay, why do you think it is? And I don't know what the answer is, so I'm just going to get your thought. Why do populations put up with this?
Hello?
Yeah, hey, I'm here. You still hear me, Stan?
Yeah, I can still hear you good. Okay.
Okay, well, okay. Why do you think they put up with it? Why do people put up with this?
Well, I can tell you this. Like, if you just go back to the biblical story when Jesus Christ was born, Herod heard that a king of the Jews was born. And when he couldn't find him, what he did is he had every male child killed under the age of two to protect his power.
Sure, the murder of the innocents.
Are that way. That's just how they are.
Except, see, I think it's become much more pernicious than this, because I think what they do now is, rather than kick in your door and grab your kid, or kick in your door and not let you have, I mean, think about, like, how Mao and those people decided, or Deng Xiaoping decided they were going to depopulate people in China. Now they just give you inducements. They just give you goodies to not do the things that you would otherwise want to do. And so
in essence, they have the regulatory agencies for that.
They have that, but they also have the steel inside the velvet glove. And that's the thing. It looks like it's a soft, lovely glove, and you're only trying to help us improve and all this sort of stuff. And at the end of the day, you're being restrained. Right? You're being restrained. Like, for example, do you think more people would have gotten the COVID vaccine if they were threatened with being fired from their job, or if the federal government said, I'm going to give you $15,000 for taking the shot? What do you think would have been a much more effective way to get people to take the shot?
To pay you $15,000.
Exactly right. See, no longer are you going to have the guy in the dark of night kicking in your door with the SWAT team. They're just going to come in and be like, you know, if you play ball, we're going to let you have these extra benefits. And you know what that is? Like, do you know what that actually is? That's the social credit score system.
It's like they're bribing you to get you where they want to take.
Correct. See, they realize if they kick in your door, take your stuff, you're going to end up on the news or on talk radio. But if they ring the bell and they say, hey, Stan, you know, we know you've been voting for we know you've been voting for the Republicans. But you know what? We think you ought to vote for these other guys. And if you like voting for these guys, you know, we can hook you up with a trip to Maui. You know what I mean? Whatever it is.
It's like they tax for social programs, and then because of paying the taxes, you wind up needing social programs.
Correct. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Because guess what now happens? Guess what now happens? When bacon's $9 for a package of bacon that you and I maybe paid $4 for a year ago or $3 2 years ago, you get a package of bacon, or you can have yourself some of that soy bacon over there for $1.99. You'll make that decision because you're being induced.
Right.
That's crazy. Well,
Brett, enjoy all your meat and smoked turkey on Thanksgiving.
You got it, my man. I appreciate you being there, man. I appreciate you. Thank you. That's Stan. Stan is the man. People are queuing up. Stay there. I want to talk to you. We got Robert. We got Tom. Oh, Tom is anti. Hold on a second here. Wait a minute. You are anti-Nog, Tom, in this time and place?
Oh, come on, Brett. You know, I think real highly of you. I always have.
Yes, sir.
And I always listen to you when I go pick up my son. Actually, this is the first time I've ever called into a radio show.
Oh, my gosh.
But I got to tell you, Brett, I've always talked to you in real high esteem, but when you said that you put Nog on cereal.
I have, yes.
That you know, I'm a pastor, and I don't judge people. I try not to. But come on, Brent.
I didn't have any milk. I had two choices. And you tell me what I should choose. I had two choices. I had Nog or V8.
See, I don't know where you're thinking that. You're such a smart guy. I mean, I don't know. I had to call you, Brent. I had to call you on that one.
All right, listen. I'm toasting you with a cup of Nog. And I appreciate you being there, Pastor Tom of the Church of No Nog.
Okay. All right, brother. Well, you God have a happy Thanksgiving. I'll leave you alone, man.
You too, man. I appreciate you. God bless you. I appreciate you. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. AM, PM, PM, and AM. Bo Thompson joins us now as we cross the streams going into Thanksgiving. And you know what's important there, Bo Thompson? This has to last 3, 4, or 5 days until we all get back together again on Monday.
So I've got to be triple good here.
You got to be triple good. You got to absolutely be triple good. And that's a hugely important thing when you're out there. Hey, let me ask you a question. When you're doing the Thanksgiving celebration, right, you're watching football games, you're cooking, you're eating, you're doing the stuff that you do. Do you ever find yourself having to rely on translation devices to understand what the kids these days say?
To understand what the kids are, the lingo, you mean?
The lingo, like chuggy, you know, things like that. Like, do you have to do that? Do you ever do that?
Now my kids are not guilty of this, but I went to a family gathering. The short answer is no, not so much in my house. But I can tell you that I went to a Thanksgiving gathering about 3 or 4 years ago, and it really sort of hit home to me the technology age that we live in. We were sitting around a table, and, you know, they're 5 or 6 teenage. My kids were not quite teenage at this point, but there were some kids there, some cousins that were teenage age, and they were sitting around the table silently and really quiet. And then about halfway through, I realized they were all texting each other. You know, like 3 feet away from each other, across the table, or even next to each other. But they were all texting each other during during the meal in lieu of talking. And it kind of hit me that, okay, this is where we are. There's a lively conversation going on right now that I'm not part of and I can't hear, but it's happening.
So does that make you, like, do you get mad? Do you say, okay, everybody put your phones down? Or do you just kind of roll with it?
Well, this was not a group that that I would have felt comfortable saying that to. This is an extended family that I don't know as well, and I probably wouldn't have been my place to say something. Now, had it been my own kids, I would have said, get off your phones. But I'm happy to say, and at this point, I don't even know if both my kids had phones yet. But I'm not knocking it as much as I'm saying. It just sort of reinforced to me that we're in a different era now.
Because I became aware of a term that I've never heard in my life, and I'm a fairly well-read guy. Have you ever heard the phrase the blueprint?
The blueprint.
As a term, like someone says it as a term. Like if you say, like you would normally think a blueprint is how you build a building or a house or something, right?
Yeah, or when I go plan my show and Beth and I talk back and forth, we have a blueprint for where we might go every morning.
Right.
That's what I think of as a blueprint.
I'm not going to go through a whole list of these. This one just struck me because it makes no sense. Like my brain does not operate on this frequency, okay? The blueprint describes when someone is so perfect or did so well at something that they are deemed the original, comparable to the OG. They are the blueprint, an icon, a legend. They did it first, and the rest simply followed their exemplary footsteps. That is so you say to somebody that, Bo, you are the blueprint. That's kind of weird.
So you want to be, it's good to be a blueprint.
You want to be the blueprint.
So I assume the OG is like, so yesterday.
The OG is us. I mean, we were the OGs.
Yeah,
back once upon a time. But now it's the blueprint.
Someone might say, Brett Venable, you're the OG blueprint.
Oh, that would, now that's, I don't hate that at all. In fact, I like that a lot. I want to be the OG blueprint. That's it, man. I mean, that's
not triple good, but that's double good.
That is double good. All right. Now that we've had the niceties, I need to get you on the record. You need to be on the record here, okay? Nog, no nog. Are you a nog guy?
I am a no nog guy.
Oh, boy. See, I got people coming in and shading me because of my devotion to the nog.
But, you know, the nog is an interesting thing because different people put different things in the nog.
Yes.
I've had good nog and I've had bad nog.
How is there bad nog? How does that happen?
I mean, I think I'm not a nog guy across the board because I've had nog that I wasn't impressed by. Now, I do remember one occasion where I had some nog. I don't know what the breakdown of how much was alcohol and how much was nog, or where that line is drawn. But you know, the nog is kind of, somebody hands you some nog. It's like moonshine back in the old days. Like
yes.
you sort of accept it for what it is, but you don't really know what it is.
See, I'm just talking about straight nog. No booze, nothing in it. Just the beverage of nog. Just the nog itself.
I don't even know if I know what that really means, though.
It's like you go to the supermarket, and in the aisle you got the dairy aisle, and you grab the quart of nog. There's no alcohol, there's no booze in it. It's just the nog. It's just the thing that looks akin to milk.
And yes. If you told me to go buy nog, I'd know where to go and I'd know what to get. But if you said, what's in the nog? What does that actually mean? I don't think I know.
Virgin nog. You'd be drinking virgin. Would you drink virgin nog, not boozy nog?
Sure.
See, this is what I'm saying. I'm not advocating for drinking and driving, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm just saying the flavor of nog. And what happened, Bo, was I mentioned, silly me, I mentioned this, in my own fault, that I once upon a time didn't have any milk, and I used nog on my crunch berries because it's milkish. No,
did it work? No, it did not work.
It was fine. It was a little rich. My pancreas was going to explode from the sugar, but I mean, other than that, it was basically okay. It would not. I told the guy. A guy yelled at me a couple minutes ago. He didn't really yell, but he was pointing it out, and I said, "Look, I had two options, Bo Thompson." On the cereal. I had two options, V8 or nog. I had to go nog.
Well, and then, of course, see, when you say nog, I'm assuming it's eggnog, but it doesn't have to be eggnog. It could just be nog. Nog is the base. Nog is the blueprint.
Oh, okay. OG. OG. Yeah. Bo Thompson is the OG. All right.
It's the blueprint nog.
Second question for the bonus round. Here we go. This is the bonus round. You can add one item to the Thanksgiving table, and you can remove one item from the Thanksgiving table. What are they?
I'm definitely removing stuffing.
Wow.
I'm adding big fat yeast rolls.
Oh, that's, you pinned me here. I'm a stuffing guy. Like, I'll eat a stuffing sandwich. I have no problem with the carbs. But Wow, the yeast rolls. I'm in.
And it's not a wrong answer to say I want more yeast rolls. Like, if there are yeast rolls and you want to add more to the mix, it's triple the meal.
Wow. Is there any way I can induce you into the stuffing or the dressing or whatever they call it with like little bits of sausage and celery goodness or anything like that?
You know, my answer should have been, I'm taking away the gravy and adding the nod.
Let me tell you something. Nothing wrong with that. And gravy is a perfect substitute if you're out of nog. You just
people might assume it's gravy, depending on how much they put in their nog.
Now that you say that, that's interesting, because I think if you put pepper in the nog, you could basically put it on chicken fried steak.
I don't know if that would be the blueprint, though.
That is not the blueprint. That is chuggy. That is, and bougie. Bo Thompson. You're a great sport, Bo Thompson. You know, I love you like a brother, because, I mean, this is great stuff, man. I appreciate you.
I knew this had to be triple good.
I appreciate you, and I just want to thank you and wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Can I add one plug before we go?
Do it.
New Century podcast today featuring all-time Hornets great announcer Steve Martin, available wherever you download podcasts.
Do it. You want it. I want it. Great stuff. Bo Thompson, all the best, my friend.
You too. Talk to you next week.
You got it. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm Brent Winterbull, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. Great to be here with you, 704-570-1110. So one of my favorite writers in the whole world is O. Henry. O. Henry is one of my absolute favorites, and he has a perfect story for this upcoming holiday at Thanksgiving entitled Two Thanksgiving Day Gentlemen. And I wanted to share it with you because I just think it's absolutely top notch. It was the last Thursday in November, Thanksgiving Day. As usual, Stuffy Pete took his seat on the third bench to the right as you enter Washington Square Park in New York. Every Thanksgiving Day for 9 years, he had taken his seat there promptly at 1 o'clock. And every time he had done so, a wonderful thing happened to him, something that swelled his heart as well as his stomach. But today, Stuffy Pete's appearance at the usual yearly meeting place was the result of habit rather than that of a hunger that he generally felt. Certainly, Pete was not hungry today. He had just come from a feast that had filled him so he could barely move or breathe. His eyes were like two pale berries firmly buried in a swollen and gravy-smeared mask of putty. His breath came in short wheezes. Buttons that had been sewed upon his clothes a week before by a volunteer from the Salvation Army flew like popcorn on the earth around him. Ragged he was, with a split shirt front. But the November breeze, which carried fine snowflakes, brought him only some coolness, for which he was grateful. For Stuffy Pete was overheated with the warmth produced by an enormous and magnificent dinner. It begun with oysters and ended with plum pudding, and it included, it seemed to him, all the roast turkey and baked potatoes and chicken salad and squash pie and ice cream in the world. Therefore, he sat on the park bench and gazed upon the world full to the brim. The meal had been an unexpected one. He was passing a red brick mansion on the lower part of Fifth Avenue, and in it lived two elderly ladies who believed strongly in tradition. One of the traditional habits was to post a servant outside the house on Thanksgiving Day. They gave him orders to stop the first hungry passerby who came along after the hour of noon and to invite that person in for a banquet. Stuffy Pete happened to be strolling along on his way to the park. Thus it was that he was treated to the feast. For 10 minutes, Stuffy Pete gazed straight ahead. Then he became aware that he desired a slightly different field of vision. With tremendous effort, he moved his head slowly to the left. Then his eyes bulged out with fear. His breath ceased. The ragged edges of his trouser legs brushed nervously up and down on the gravel, for the old gentleman had come there and found Stuffy Pete on that bench. Every Thanksgiving Day for 9 years, he had found Stuffy there and had led him to a restaurant and watched him eat a huge meal. This was the old gentleman trying to make a tradition of. The old gentleman was thin and tall and 70. He was dressed in all black and wore the old-fashioned kind of glasses that won't stay on your nose. His hair was whiter and thinner than it had been last year. And he had seemed a bit unsteady and made more use of his big knobby cane with the crooked handle. As his benefactor came up, Stuffy shuddered. He longed to flee, but he could not bring himself to do so. Moreover, his legs were not capable of the task. "Good morning," said the old gentleman. "I'm glad to see that the fortunes of another year have spared you to move in health about the beautiful world. For the blessing alone, this day of Thanksgiving is well celebrated. If you will come with me, my man, I will provide you a dinner that should be more than satisfactory in every respect." That is what the old gentleman said every time. Every Thanksgiving Day for 9 years, the words themselves were almost an institution. Always before they had been music in Stuffy's ears. But now, with tearful agony, he looked at the old gentleman's face. The fine snow almost sizzled when it fell upon the old gentleman's perspiring brow. The old fellow shivered a little and turned his back to the wind. Stuffy had always wondered why the old gentleman spoke his speech rather sadly. He did not know that it was because the old gentleman was wishing every time that he had a son to succeed him. A son who would stand there after he was a gone son, who would stand proud and strong and would say, "In memory of my father." But the old gentleman had no relatives. He lived quietly by himself on one of the streets east of the park. Stuffy Pete looked helplessly up at the old gentleman for half a minute. The old gentleman's eyes were bright with the pleasure of giving. His face was getting more lined every year, but his little black necktie was tied in as neat a bow as ever, and his shirt was beautiful and white, and his gray mustache was curled gracefully at the ends. And then Stuffy opened his mouth and uttered a noise that sounded like peas bubbling in a pot. Since the old gentleman had heard the sounds 9 times before, he correctly reasoned that Stuffy had accepted his offer. "Thank you, sir. I'll go with you, and much obliged. I'm very hungry, sir." Stuffy's Thanksgiving appetite was not his own. It now belonged to the kindly old gentleman who had taken possession of it. The old gentleman led Stuffy southward to the restaurant and to the table where the feast had always occurred. There they were recognized. "Here comes the old guy," said the waiter, "that treats that same bum to a meal every Thanksgiving." The old gentleman sat across from the table, glowing like a pearl at the sight of Stuffy. The waiters heaped the table with holiday food, and Stuffy, with a sigh that was mistaken for an expression of hunger, raised his knife and fork and began to carve. No more valiant hero ever fought his way through the ranks of the enemy. Turkey, chops, soup, vegetables, pies disappeared before him as fast as they could be served. Full to the utmost, when he entered the restaurant, the smell of food had almost caused him to lose his honor as a gentleman. But he rallied like a true knight. He saw the look of happiness in the old gentleman's face, and he had not the heart to see it dim. An hour later, Stuffy leaned back, the battle won. "Thank you kindly, sir," he puffed like a leaky steam pipe. "Thank you for your hearty meal." And then he arose heavily with glazed eyes and headed toward the kitchen. A waiter turned him around like a top and pointed him toward the door. The old gentleman carefully paid the bill and left a tip for the waiter. They parted as they did each year at the door. The old gentleman going south, Stuffy going north. Around the corner, Stuffy turned. He stood for 1 minute. He seemed to puff out his rags as an owl puffs out its feathers. and then fell to the sidewalk like a sun-stricken horse. When the ambulance came, the young doctor with the driver muttered softly about Stuffy's weight as they placed him inside. Then Stuffy and his two dinners went to the hospital. There they were stretched on a bed and began to test him for various diseases. And lo, an hour later, another ambulance brought the old gentleman. They put him on another bed and mentioned appendicitis, for he seemed to have the symptoms. But pretty soon, one of the young doctors met one of the young nurses he liked and stopped to chat about the cases. That nice old gentleman over there now, he said you wouldn't think that that was a case of almost starvation. Proud old family, I guess. He told me he hadn't eaten a thing in 3 days. O. Henry, two Thanksgiving Day gentlemen. Oh, it's that time, the pre-Thanksgiving version of Charlotte at Six.
Yes, sir.
Mark Garrison has it. What do we got coming up tonight, my man?
I got a busy hour ahead. We'll follow up Channel 3's chopper crash from yesterday. Turns out that particular helicopter model has had a lot of crashes. And we'll talk to a pilot who says it is very hard to handle in an emergency.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy at the airport today. They opened up an extra security line. We'll check that out. And then at 6:22, we'll talk turkey. The Butterball Turkey Hotline.
Oh, yeah.
They have been getting so many weird calls today, and we'll find out about some of those.
Make sure to pull that bag of stuff out of the bird, man.
That's right. Take the plastic wrap off before you cook it.
Yeah. No!
She did tell me that they've had people want to know if they can thaw it in their hot tub.
Oh, wow. That's a way to get to know your relatives.
Yeah, really. Or keep them from coming to dinner, yeah.
Bobbing for birds. Well, I can't wait, man.
All right, sir.
Thanks. Mark Garrison, Charlotte at 6. Mandatory listening, ladies and gentlemen. Robert has been patiently waiting forever. Robert, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I appreciate you taking my phone call. Great show, as always. I called in the other day. I was talking to you about this FTX debacle and all that with Sam Bankman-Fried, whatever his name is.
Yes, sir.
And as I predicted the other day, I said, once they peel the onion back on this thing, this could get real interesting. Well, I think my prediction has come true. I saw Sam's father on TV last night being interviewed, painting himself into the corner, claiming that, he didn't know. He's wanting to hand back the $6 million house that his son, 30-year-old son, gave to him, and he's trying to figure out, you know, everything's going to be cool with that. It's absolutely crazy. So I understand now they recovered $700 million. So where is the rest of the money? Anybody know?
Oh, no way. Are you kidding me? They hid that money has gone high. He took a loan out for $1 billion. A loan. What? It's insane.
I'm surprised that Sam himself is actually getting on TV running his mouth without any legal counsel sitting right next to him.
It's incredible.
I think there's some nervous people out here too that are involved in this thing. Now, how far they take this thing, only time will tell. You think they'll cover this up like they did with the Epstein Island thing?
I'm not optimistic. Yeah, I think this thing is going to go in the memory hole for
Happy
sure.
Happy Thanksgiving, my friend. Okay,
you too, man. Bless you. I appreciate you being out there, man. Happy Thanksgiving. This is Judy. Judy, welcome to the show. How are you? Hello, Judy. Judy.
This is a little bit old story now, but it was about the NOG.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
You can put me in the pro-NOG category. Typically, I can resist it because of the calories, and it's a little bit expensive. But recently, Harris Teeter had it, buy one, get one free, so it was all over.
Oh, yeah.
I bought my quart of eggnog and could not wait to get in my car to take me a straw out of my stash in the side pocket of my car door and put it in that quart and drank about 2/3 of it before I stopped.
Way to go, Judy. You can roll nog with me any day, my friend. I appreciate you being out there.
Yes, sir. Have a blessed Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Thank you so much for calling. Oh, boy. All right, Paul. Paul's coming in on eggnog strategies. What do you got there, Paul?
Look, Brett. You and I have been friends a long time.
Yes, sir.
let's just lay it on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Me and you, mm-hmm. we got, first of all, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Love Thanksgiving you to you, Mr. Jameson.
However,
mm-hmm.
eggnog, no.
No? No.
I don't even know what's in it. And I don't think you do either.
It's magic.
So let's talk about what can we actually do with it.
Yeah, okay.
We can't put it in our gas tank. We can't do things like that. But what we can do, and what we have found, of course, my wife is arguing with me. She loves eggnog.
Mm-hmm.
She drinks it. She's happy.
Mm-hmm.
However, eggnog belongs in other things. Let's add it to, say, waffle mix.
Waffle mix.
Pancake mix.
Pancake mix.
Not cereal.
Okay.
Let's make it, let's be okay with the flavor and not drink the stuff straight.
Okay, I'm good with you. I'm good with you. Paul Jameson, happy Thanksgiving, my man. You're amazing. You know what? Let's manna make nog great again. Menga. Thank you to TJ. Thank you to Tommy. Thank you to Boomer, Mark Garrison, Brett Jensen, and Bo Thompson. I am Brett Witterbull. God bless you, everyone, with Thanksgiving, and we'll come together again on Monday. News Talk 1110993 WBT.
And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant.